Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up for the draft. There's hours tonight. There's 73 picks tonight. And then four more rounds tomorrow. Said that to get you excited, Matt.
I'm always excited. I can't wait. I'm all stocked up already.
All right, all at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. They're open now and into this evening. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online sales now available at Sunbury Motors, and the service department is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com in a few moments. First, our play-by-play call of the day.
McSorley from the goal line. Slam. And there's Handler, the speedy freshman. They'll never catch him. KJ Handler, touchdown. Welcome to college football.
93-yarder against Ohio State on the slant over the middle. It is amazing that once you catch the ball and you have 4.27 speed, they will not catch you. Alex Cazora, SteelersDepot.com, joins us. Alex, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Thanks for having me on, Steve.
Well, first of all, the Steelers already got an A for their first-round pick. His name is Minkah Fitzpatrick. So they've got an A for that. But they got a pick tonight at 17. So give us some hints as to where you think the direction could be.
This is really uncharted territory for a lot of reasons. Obviously, everything pandemic-related, but for Pittsburgh to pick this late in the draft is I wouldn't say unprecedented, but pretty close to most people's lifetime. The first time they haven't picked in the first round since 1967, the first time they're picking this late in a draft since 1963. So it has been difficult to project. Obviously, you get a little more clarity based on what happened in round one, but not a lot. The obvious kind of catch-all vague answer I can give you is offense, based on how poor the offense was last year, how elite the defense was. It's going to be either an interior offensive lineman like a Matt Hennessy from Temple, local kid out your way, Lloyd Cushenberry the third from LSU, or a running back or a receiver. Running back, the only one went on day one, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 32 to the Chiefs. So if a Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin slips, certainly going to pique the team's interest. Ditto with Cam Akers from Florida State at receiver. I look at guys like Michael Pittman Jr. from USC, T. Higgins from Clemson, and maybe even kind of an in-betweener, somebody that can be a little running back, a little receiver, kind of put his hand in both pots, like a LaVisca Chenault from Colorado, who's a big guy, tough, injury concerns, but certainly can be a playmaker and was the go-to guy for that Colorado offense.
Can KJ Hamler fit that mode?
He could. I thought maybe Philadelphia would have interest, but obviously he's probably going to be on the table now that they took Jalen Reagor in round one. The question with Hamler is the obvious, the size, and the Steelers generally don't draft receivers that are that small, but you know, you had that. I was envisioning him running downfield, that 93-yarder you guys were playing in a second ago, and just the fast dude on the field every time he stepped into a college football stadium, and that's probably going to be similar in the NFL. But I do worry about the obviously size concerns. He didn't get to work out and test at the combine due to an injury, but he would be that really speedy slot guy the Steelers roster just simply lacks right now.
Jonathan Taylor's interesting for this reason. Obviously, he was a terrific college back. And not only that, I thought last year Wisconsin did a great job of using him in the passing game more. Now, that helps him at the next level. But he's got two issues. He's got tons of wear on the tread. And number two, 18 fumbles is not a small number, Alex.
Absolutely. Those are the two big concerns for sure. Now, I will say for Pittsburgh, they really care about two things when it comes to drafting running backs. You think of guys like James Conner, Benny Snell, Le'Veon Bell, even Jalen Samuels, who's more hybrid but viewed as a running back by the team. They want size, guys that are 220 pounds plus. That's the type they go for. Taylor checks that box, and they want guys with ultra-great production in college. And Taylor, of course, checks that box nearly three straight seasons of 2,000-plus yards. So there were some worries about mileage and the fumbles. I think those are fair concerns. But at this point, for me, rookie running backs, you're on a four-year contract. Do you even want to give these rookie running backs a second contract to see what happens with guys like Devontae Freeman and Todd Gurley? They've been mistakes. So from a wear standpoint, I'm less concerned because it's not like you probably plan on this guy being on your team for 10 years anyway. You might be 4 years, and that's it. The fumbles are a different issue. Of course, you had a bunch of carries, so you have to see the percentage and maybe kind of how those numbers bear out relative to other backs in this class. But I think if Taylor's there, no guarantee he is, but if he is, Pittsburgh will certainly have interest.
You talk about interior offensive line. Did the signing of Stefan Wisniewski ease that concern a bit, or is that still high on their board even with that signing?
I would say it eased it a bit, just that it gives them some roster flexibility so they don't have to feel compelled to take someone, because that's when you make bad decisions, when you have this giant hole in the roster where you feel like you have to fill it. But certainly, signing a Wisniewski guy that's 31, you know, didn't start last year until their injuries for the Chiefs, was on the street for the first month of the season, isn't going to stop you from drafting someone you think could be a long-term option at the position. Last year, they signed Steven Nelson and Mark Barron and Dante Moncrief in free agency, and they go out and draft those positions with Devin Bush and Deontay Johnson and Justin Lane. So it's not going to stop them. If they can get a long-term option like a Hennessy or a Cushenberry, that's certainly a possibility if the board falls the right way.
Right. The Steelers are obviously an interesting spot because they've got a quarterback that keeps them in the Super Bowl hunt all the time when he's healthy. We saw last night the Packers, Alex, draft Jordan Love, because at this point, Aaron Rodgers is 36. At some point tonight, because they have, what, two picks tonight, right? Does that sound fair?
Right. I think
Do you maybe in round three think about another quarterback, or are they comfortable enough with Mason Rudolph?
Publicly, they've said they're comfortable with Rudolph right after the season. For as difficult of a year as it was for the Steelers offense and Mason Rudolph, they said Rudolph is the backup heading into 2021. So there was a big public show of confidence there. I would probably have the same reaction to them drafting a quarterback as Aaron Rodgers probably has right now. He's probably got big speak to your manager energy right now, wondering what the heck is going on. Why aren't they going with weapons? I'm more interested in building weapons around Ben to win with him, as opposed to trying to find his replacement. You got a 2-year window to win a Super Bowl. You got this year, next year, and that's all that's really guaranteed right now in terms of that Super Bowl window. I want to build as much talent as possible with my Hall of Fame quarterback, as opposed to trying to find his replacement. And in the third round, there probably won't be any talent there. Maybe James Morgan from Florida International, if they're going to do it. Round two is probably the better place to do it, because you got Jalen Hurts, Jake Fromm, and Jacob Eason, all kind of good tier two quarterbacks. But really, for me, quarterback is like the one position I'd be dead set against drafting tonight.
Yeah, because the name that keeps coming up over and over again is Jake Fromm. Mm-hmm. And Jake Fromm, to me, is the kind of guy, Alex, when I look at him, he has to go to a team that has something up front. In other words, going to a bad team is not good for him, because he needs time to do what he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's sure. He's a pure pocket guy.
Absolutely. And I thought that I disliked those quarterbacks. I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I see a lot of Deshaun Watson in Jalen Hurts in terms of the intangibles. You know, everyone's going to love him, killed it in the interview room. So it's not the fact that I dislike the quarterbacks. Honestly, Steve, what I would do, I think the one way quarterbacks might play a role in the Pittsburgh is if, let's say, Jalen Hurts or Fromm or Jacob Eason's there at 49 and some other team wants to trade up for that quarterback because he's like the last good quarterback left on the board.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh with only two picks, 49-102, it's not a lot of draft capital, move back and be 10-15 spots, pick up another mid-third round pick, give yourself some options and flexibility. In a draft like this, you want as many bites at the apple as possible, because this draft has been lacking information. The more picks you have, the more chances you have to get things right.
Is this one, Alex, where maybe tonight, especially considering we don't even know if they're going to be preseason games, I mean, they might just do it the college football way this year. Like, okay, we'll do some scrimmages, things like that, and then we're going to go play games. Is this a best player available deal tonight, maybe, for the Steelers?
I think that's always an element for Pittsburgh, but I think that every team says draft the best player available. Nobody says we drafted the fourth best player available, you know, publicly. But I think my philosophy has always been it's where value and need intersect at its highest point. You want to, of course, draft some more of need, someone that can help you right away. Like I said earlier, you're in win-now mode, but you can't go strictly for the best player because you may not be someone at a position that helps you right now. So it's not a coincidence that, you know, last year they get Devin Bush, who was one of the top players available, but also was a giant need for this team. So I always kind of look at, you know, where is the top talent at a position where you really could use the help? So it's always, it's the same philosophy. It's just harder to find that this year because you have less information on these guys because of lack of pro days and visits and all that kind of stuff.
Right. And I was a big fan of the move up to get Bush. And I was a big fan. And I was a big fan of the Minkah Fitzpatrick trade. I mean, they're two cornerstones that, for them for a while. When you look at the draft after the way everything played out last night, to you, who are some of the first players that come off the board tonight, even before the Steelers get a chance to pick?
Yeah, I think it's going to be offense-heavy at the top. I think I saw a report from NFL Network that the Bengals are looking at either TCU defensive tackle Ross Blacklock or Baylor wide receiver Denzel Mims. I was surprised, to be honest, that Mims went or did not go in the first round. I would look at some of the top tackles, Josh Jones from Houston, Ezra Cleveland from Boise State, maybe some of the top cornerbacks as well. So, and, of course, the running backs. I don't expect all the running backs to be there by the time Pittsburgh picks a 49. So DeAndre Swift from Georgia could go to Miami. Jonathan Taylor from Wisconsin, we talked about earlier, he's in the mix. J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State. So probably offense heavy with some receivers, running backs, some offensive tackles.
Yeah. Is it a, when you look at the draft, I kind of thought last night, to start, I thought the teams would be picking some people that would be a little more plug and play because of the circumstances. I don't have any time to develop anybody. We got to get going here. Right. I thought early on that started to be that way, and then later on I thought it got bizarre. What did you think?
Yeah, I would say that I agree with that assessment. The top 15 picks really were pretty chalk. No major surprises, no trades until, 13, you know, barely any of a one-spot trade there. The Buccaneers and 49ers flipped a spot. Then again, it kind of gets murky later in the draft, which I guess is kind of to be expected once, you know, you kind of teams have to react to the board. But yeah, I mean, I think tonight we're going to see more activity, some more trades. I'm sure, you know, last night for so many teams was just so new, so weird. You were just making sure your internet stayed in good connection without having to worry about doing trades and stuff. So I think you're going to see more activity tonight than opposed to last night.
Alex, I'll tell you, and I made the joke earlier, when Damon Arnett got picked, and, you know, and look, I've done enough Penn State, Ohio State games, so I've seen him enough in person, and I've seen enough video of him. I thought it was Saturday.
That was a stunner. I was shocked by that, not going to lie.
I look like, is it Saturday yet? There's no way in the planet. Okay, so give us just for the heck of it, for some fun, who did they pick at 17 tonight?
Well, just the guy ahead of my last Steelers mock draft on Steelers Depot is still there, so I'd be a liar if I didn't stick to my guns, although I'm doing it with, you know, my fingers crossed and I'm kind of squinting at this one. I'm going to go Matt Hennessy from Temple. There was a report that he does have interest in him. He's high character, tough, durable, really good Senior Bowl week. They could use the help, but it could be Chenault, Hennessy, Pittman, Jonathan Taylor. Those are four for you.
They're all four really good players. Really good players.
Yeah,
and by the way, I'm a big Michael Pittman guy. I think he's really good. So
yeah, yep. Hey, good NFL bloodlines. Tomlin coached his dad, so that's always valuable in Pittsburgh.
That doesn't hurt. Doesn't hurt. Hey, Alex, what a pleasure. Thanks so much. Really appreciate your perspective. Look forward to talking to you again when we do a little post-mortem on the Steeler draft.
Looking forward to it, Steve. Thank you so much. Take care and be safe.
You too. Be safe, Alex. We'll come back with more in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last night's draft, we said that people would be aching to watch it, even the most casual of casual fans. Well, how did it do? Well, in 2014, 12.4 million people watched the draft. Last night, a record 15.6 million people watched the draft, and it was a 37% increase over last year's draft. Now, I saw nothing of the draft-a-thon, which was being hosted by Rich Eisen. I think he had to go online to do that. But that also reached 7 million people last night. That brings the number to 22 million. Amazing. The draft will get going again tonight at 7 o'clock. Rounds 2 and 3. Now, it's not 64 picks tonight. You know, 32 in the second and 32 in the third. It's actually 73 picks. There are 9 compensatory picks at the end of the third round tonight. But the time is shorter. I think it goes to 7 minutes. And then tomorrow, it rounds 4 through 7 starts at noon. That's 5 minutes a pick. Okay? But 15.6 million viewers. The thing that struck me was that Roger Goodell's basement looks a lot like Matt's. Got me. And then, you know, and then of course, you know, the suit's already chimed in as to who he wants the Steelers to pick tonight.
And who was that?
Marco Andretti. Michael, I just don't get it. You wonder why I get frightened. I mean, I'm sorry. He worries me. Right? Now, Roger is a huge Redskins fan. And I want to tell you right now, they got the guy last night. I'll bet he can't be any happier with the pick the Redskins made. Now, I'm reading a draft review from last night. And they gave the Redskins a B plus or something like that for pick, something like that. Listen to the reason. All right? He thinks that the Redskins should have drafted Tua. I'm sitting here saying, no.
That's ludicrous.
I'm just telling you what it said. I completely disagree with it. I'm sitting there at 2. There is no doubt in my mind I am picking Chase Young. No doubt. I also think the Dolphins, to their credit, played it perfectly last night. I think they used logic. Detroit is sitting there, and they've lost Darius Slay, and they picked Okuda. And I think the Dolphins used logic there. The Giants were not going to pick Tua. And the Giants also weren't going to trade. He never trades. And then the Dolphins got Tua. And the Chargers ended up with Herbert. And that's going to be the age-old... There's going to be more talk about the Dolphins and the Chargers out of this draft, regardless of what Burrow does with the Bengals. Because there's always going to be that one went five, one went six, who was better.
What was amazing about that, Steve, is like there was no buzz as those picks got closer as to a possible trade or anything. That's what I was a little bit surprised about.
And well, the part about the trade is you knew the Giants weren't trading. He doesn't trade. Hey, he doesn't. No, I mean when it comes to draft day. Because obviously he made the Leonard Williams trade or whatever the heck it was for the third round pick. I'm like still mystified about that. I wouldn't tell his brother that, God, because I've met his brother, Dave Gettleman's brother. I met him. But I just like, so you knew he wasn't going to move because he in eight drafts he's never once moved. Okay, so everything was around Detroit, and I think they properly rolled the dice and said they lost Darius Slay. They want to take, you know, they'll take Okuda. I also think they played it right. They had people in their organization talking a lot about Justin Herbert. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, Wine Coolers, Water, Soft Drink, Snacks, they roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day, and the Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and Dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Ah, yes. Stock up for a big draft weekend.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Oh, stock up for the big draft weekend. I mean, Matt's already locked in. Matt, you're locked in, buddy.
Of course.
I mean, you're excited.
Probably have another cold one tonight.
Or two.
Yeah.
Well, just don't yell at the TV like you did last night when the Eagles made their pick. look, I'm just concerned that Lisa then has to work harder to calm the baby down.
Now, luckily, everybody was asleep last night.
No, I meant you.
All right, so. Well, there you go. That is a different story.
Are the jokes this cheap and easy? Thank you so much. I'm back at 7 o'clock. Don't forget to tip your waitress. All right. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Beverage Supermarket. Imports, Domestics, Microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury. The Beverage Supermarket. And they are open right now for you to stock up for your draft weekend. And also to watch the Jordan special again. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Online sales now available at Sunbury Motors. Great product lines. Check them out online. Great sales staff. Great deals. All at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And don't forget, the Sunbury Motors Service Department is open Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. And with that, we now go to New England and the King.
I am craving a Brewers Outlet pickle.
I'm sure you are.
Oh, the best. Boy, they're good. They are very, very good.
They are the best.
Very good. Yeah. Listen to the commercial now. I'm craving it. I don't know what to do. Drive there, wear a mask. Right. Gloves, mask.
Yeah.
You frustrated or what?
Everybody is.
Oh, my gosh, I can't. I went to the bank today. There's 15 people in line. You can't go in. You can go in a grocery store, but you can't go in a bank. So they only have one drive-through window, you know.
Right.
You're like, I'm slowly going to shoot myself or sniff glue until I see purple. I don't know. But anyway, we're healthy, and that's good.
Yeah, so we're going to be all right. We're going to be
all right. We'll be fine. I applied for that money. I'm going to need it. So
good. Good.
The bill was signed today. I didn't make it through the first cut.
Yeah, you'll get through this cut.
Well, I hope so. I mean, you got Yale and Harvard out of the way, you know.
Shake
Jack's gone. So
now that the $40 billion now that the group with the $40 billion endowment is out of the way,
that frees up the 0.1% that I would get of that.
There we go.
I mean, I'm a little pimple on a butt compared to these guys, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, holy crap. My wife and I were reading that the average payout was $250,000. I'm like, what? I'm like, God, that's a big payroll. So that was average, and we're not even even in that ballpark. But we're all healthy. Everyone's happy. Everyone healthy with you?
They are, and in a few months' time, I think we'll be talking a different tune. It's just me. You know?
What do you mean?
It's better.
Oh, it'll be better.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
it has to be better, but they got they got to stop treating us like little babies here, you know? We can take care of ourselves. I was telling Matt, they've trained us well. The 6 feet thing, that's easy. The masks, that's easy. And at some point, you got to let it go and just say, hey, now just practice the distancing and wear the masks and keep sanitizing. But what is the end? They don't have a vaccine. So define the end. There is no end.
They're never going to get a vaccine.
So you're going to have to trust the fact that people will be vigilant. And if you see people not doing it, or you go in stores where they're not practicing it, then you call the authorities, and they'll make sure they do it. So, but we got to, as a group, if we're all in this together, then we got to all actually be in it together and start working on it, not just sit at home and hide. So.
Right, you know, and that's going to be really important. I think at some point you got to trust us.
Yeah,
so
you have to. I mean, because you don't have an answer for the virus, and you're not going to have it for quite a while. So
again, SARS never had it. They never did have a vaccine for it. They never did.
They say it again.
SARS and H1N1. They never had a vaccine for it. They never got that point.
So we just grew an immunity to it.
It burned itself out. I'm not saying that's going to happen with this, because obviously I'm a sportscaster.
I'm a doctor.
I know my.
I know
my place in life. I know where my brain power is. I have the ability to read and comprehend. Okay, I can't do that.
Some of the stuff you can't make up. I mean, I needed a blood test, right? But I said I'm not. I go to this what's called Hartford Healthcare. And I had just general appointments, follow-ups. I'm being a good boy. And they canceled them because they don't want anyone in their office. And you're just going for a follow-up. And it's no. I said, that's fine. Then the next one canceled that one. Then the one that wanted me to get the blood test said, you have to go to Quest. I said, well, I'm not going there, because the last time I was there were a lot of people with masks and gloves on. You know?
Right.
Oh, but you have to go. I said, well, wait a minute. Your office called and canceled two appointments because you don't want me in there, but you want me to go in there.
That's right.
And, well, you got a good point, Mr. Jones. I said, exactly. Well, yeah, I'm not going. That's my point.
There you go.
Yeah. I mean,
all right. So let's
try and
get
stay out of harm's way when you can. So
yeah, exactly. Okay, so let's get a trivia question in before we.
Yes.
Take a break.
I did my homework.
All right. I've got the first question, Matt. Joe Burrow. Oh, good. See, I finally got music here.
My bad.
The Shamokin Dam Orchestra is acting like they're on strike. Joe Burrow and Cam Newton have several items in common. They're both Heisman Trophy winners. They're both first overall draft picks, and they're both national champions. What's the fourth thing the two of them have in common in their football, college football careers?
Oh, I know this. They both play the piano.
Okay, and Matt?
I'll say passing yards.
They both sign their letters of intent with Urban Meyer.
Ah!
Everyone forgets that Cam Newton signed his letter of intent with Florida first.
Wow.
And got out of it.
I did forget about that.
And got out of it. And then Burrow transferred.
They don't play the piano?
They may play chopsticks, but I don't think so.
I tried. So.
See, now that's a good one out of the gate.
That is a good one.
Okay. Matt?
Okay. Sticking with football. Which player was inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame at a younger age than anyone else?
I will say Gale Sayers.
Kev?
I'm going with Chicago also with sweetness.
Gale Sayers is correct.
Oh, well.
He was 34 when he was inducted because he had his career cut off by all the knee injuries that he had. All right, Kev, let's get you in here before we break here.
Okay, I'm going to throw a softball. Quick one, you guys will get this. What's the only city that their Major League Baseball, NHL, and NFL teams have the same colors?
Oh, Pittsburgh.
There you go. There's your softball. The rest won't be.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll play good old-fashioned country hardball in a moment, brought to you by Brewers Outlet on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Stock up at Brewers Outlet tonight. Great to have you with us on the show today. So now we go back to trivia again. All right. We'll stick with draft trivia. As I mentioned earlier, I think it was last week's show, that the St. Louis Cardinals were the ones in the NFL that drafted Joe Namath. Okay? Well, the Jets that same year also signed another quarterback, Heisman Trophy winner John Hewitt.
Who, what NFL team actually drafted John Hewitt? Who was the Heisman Trophy winner at Notre Dame? So who drafted him?
The Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, good guess. Matt?
I'll go with the Houston Oilers.
Well, it had to be an NFL team.
Oh, right. Sorry.
In the AFL. He signed with the Jets.
Side, yeah.
It was the Philadelphia Eagles, your team.
Oh. Okay, then.
Yeah.
How long did he play?
He only played like 4 years.
That's why I don't know him.
Notre Dame played with a lot of quarterbacks in the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
Hey, Matt.
Okay. Which is the only country to have played in every World Cup?
West Germany.
Steve?
I will say England.
Correct answer was Brazil.
Brazil? Wow, that is obvious. Oh, my God. Okay. Good question.
There's a couple different countries you could have chose from there.
I guess Uruguay's, huh? All right.
What is the average lifespan of a Major League Baseball? In other words, how many pitches?
I would say the average, I'm going to say, is around four.
Matt?
I'll go six.
Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, all right.
Matt, 5 to 7 pitches. Steve, you were close. 5 to 7, you picked six. That's right smack in the middle. I thought that was fascinating. You only get one ball, only gets used on an average of 6 times. And that's it. Gone.
Well, you know what I always laugh about? Uh-huh. When I'm doing a game, they'll get a ball, they'll throw it out, but they'll roll it to the dugout. Ball probably reappears in the 6th inning.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with them. Why do they use so many balls?
Probably because of the grip with the pitchers. Some of them get pretty particular.
The crap they put on them. Wow.
Vaseline ball hit the short.
Everyone's getting my questions right. Steve, you're up.
I'm up. Okay. In what city were the now Las Vegas Raiders, previously the Oakland Raiders, what city did the Raiders, where they were supposed to originally start from? What city? When they were formed?
I'm going to say, Matt, you got a guess?
You go first.
I'm going to say San Diego.
Okay.
I'm thinking California still, so I'm going to go San Jose.
Minneapolis.
No way.
Yep.
Wow.
And what happened was is that the NFL said they're going to do what? So the NFL formed the Vikings, and the AFL got out of there, and they said, we'll go to Oakland instead.
How about that?
Wow.
Yeah.
Who's up?
All right. Basketball now. Who was the first foreign-born NBA player to be selected number one in the NBA draft?
Foreign-born. Let's see. Larry Bird's out.
Yes, he would be out.
He wasn't even first, so. I'll go with Yao Ming.
All right, Kev.
Born. I'm going to go with Kobe Bryant. Was he born in America? Wasn't he born? His father was in the military.
Yes.
His dad was played in Italy.
Right.
Yeah.
Jelly Bean Bryant.
Not corrected. It is Michael Thompson from the Bahamas.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Okay. Cool.
Yeah. Well, that's Clay Thompson's dad. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's Clay Thompson's dad.
All right, well, that makes sense then.
Yeah. And then Michael Thompson played at the University of Minnesota. So there you go.
Who is the great-great-great-grandson of Brigham Young?
A Steve Young.
Parm. Ding, 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 ding.
There you go. Yeah, I was probably going to think something similar to that. Yeah.
How do you know all these? I never would have got that. Isn't that wild? He's just great, great, great. You remember who our great, 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 great grandfather is?
Yes, Abraham Lincoln.
No. How do you get Jones out of Lincoln? Holy moly.
I think impressive.
There's a lot of marrying. No, I'm just kidding. I don't know. How the heck do I know?
Do you know who our great-great-great-grandfather is? The original of?
No.
No?
No.
Think of Grandma. Think of Grandma's maiden name.
Gamble. Yeah. Procter & Gamble?
Yep.
Wow.
Our great-great-great-grandfather is the original Gamble from Procter & Gamble.
Well, how about that? I've learned something
today. He sold it before it became huge.
Yeah.
But he was hooked with Procter. He was the original Gamble. Well,
it's just, we got nothing out of it. Okay, the great
I got a
Heisman.
Little whisper.
The great Heisman Trophy winner Ernie Davis. What team drafted him?
Oh, I know this.
Are you able to tell us what year?
Yes, it was in 1962.
I'm going to go Boston. I think they were still the Boston Braves then, right?
No.
Okay.
Cleveland Browns.
He got traded to the Cleveland Browns for Bobby Mitchell. I just told the story on the air. Ernie Davis was selected by the Washington Redskins.
I wasn't listening.
And the Redskins, you were working that time. The Redskins then traded Ernie Davis to Bobby Mitchell, and Bobby Mitchell helped break the color barrier in Washington. They were the last of the original NFL teams to integrate. Now they got Chase Young.
Interesting. Okay, guys, you stay healthy, stay safe.
You too, Cav. We'll see you next week.
Yeah.
Wear your mask.
You too.
Yeah, great. Yeah, we
will. Bye, guys.
Brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, and Hummel's Wharf. On News Radio 1070, WKOK.